Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, hey, did you know that thousands and thousands of people listen to AFR on their apps, on their phones, or their iPads or similar devices? So, you know, you don't have to live where we have a radio tower any longer. If you like American Family Radio and you want to listen anywhere in the world, any time of the day or night, you can do that just by simply accessing the app, downloading the app, and then, you know, it's clear as a bell. And as long as you got high-speed internet, you are good to go. And, Walker, I think last time we checked, we had, I don't know how many thousands.
We had over 70 or 80,000 downloads
of the app. And it's free, right?
That's right.
So absolutely free. So take advantage of that. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray. Dr. Ray Pritchard is in Kansas City, and he's co-hosting with us today, as he normally does, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Steve Jordahl is with us from the One News Now team. Tag teams with Fred at the top of the hour.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. What's in the news?
Oh, we have news. You know, it just seems like every day we got something new. And today we got some stuff with the Mueller investigation I'd like to go over with y'all.
Please.
And see if you...
Nothing gets me going like the Mueller investigation.
Indeed.
You got my full attention.
You know that the House Select Committee on Intelligence, the chairman, Devin Nunes, has been...
Great guy.
He is a good guy. And he's been fairly critical of the Department of Justice to
He better hope he stays a congressman for a long, long time.
Because that's going to be going on for a long, long time?
Well, no, because as much busting the chops of the justice, of the FBI and Justice Department.
He's kind of protected. He's protected as a congressman.
If he goes back to being a private citizen,
Well, he forced the Department of Justice's hands about a week or so ago to give him all the documents that they need. That they had asked for, and it could have been presented a long time ago. And what he found, even though some of it's still classified, what he found was that the classifications really had nothing to do with national security and more to do with embarrassment that might have come to the FBI and the Department of Justice. But they also suspect, they found that perhaps that the FBI had a paid informant or some kind of a personal spy within the Trump campaign throughout the election and after during the transition. And Devin Nunes was this morning, he was on Fox and Friends, and he says he's going back to the Department of Justice. He's going to ask for some clarity on this. He wants to know if indeed there was a FBI spy observing a presidential campaign. This is cut one.
I believe they never should have opened a counterintelligence investigation into a political party. The solution here is to get the Department of Justice to just come clean with everything, provide all the documents in a timely manner. So tomorrow we're going to go back, hopefully, to the Department of Justice. They have questions that we left for them to answer for us this week, and I think we'll have another productive session. Nobody's asking for sources, right? Nobody's asking for sources. Nobody's asking for methods. So look, let's just talk about, lay all the cards out on the table. Here's what happened and how this counterintelligence investigation was opened.
So that's gonna happen tomorrow, apparently. And Walker, I know you've been following this on your show, Exposing Washington. And do you think that the House committee or that the FBI is going to give Nunes what he wants, the DOJ?
Well, I think they will, but it's a matter of whether they'll get it on time. They're already delayed. They've missed several deadlines. The FBI and DOJ, under Attorney General Jeff Sessions, a Trump appointee, have stonewalled Congress, historically stonewalled Congress, even worse than Eric Holder did.
Which is odd, because you would think that, does Sessions think that this is part of his recusal?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. But I think Sessions is either participating in the stonewalling or he's complicit in the stonewalling. Either way, it's his department. And Congress has the constitutional right to request documents, classified and non-classified, from the executive branch, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions is stonewalling.
Well, if the FBI / Department of Justice isn't transparent with congressional oversight, then what's the difference between that and a police state?
Nothing.
Quite frankly.
Right.
Ray, what do you think the chances are?
How unusual is it for the Justice Department in America, not some third world country, how unusual is it, Steve, for the very idea that the Justice Department would have a secret plant inside the presidential campaign of a major political party? Mm-hmm. I can't remember ever hearing this before.
Well, and you heard of the paranoia of politicians before. Certainly that was what the Nixon Watergate right. thing was all about. But we've never heard of this before that I'm aware of. That mean it hasn't happened. We didn't hear about it, but yeah. But it haven't heard about it. And there's another conflict that's now come up too, between Robert Mueller and a Russian oligarch. You know, an oligarch is a businessman that accumulates a lot of money and power and influences the government there. This guy is a Russian oligarch named Oleg Deripaska. And Oleg spent several million dollars of his own at the request of Robert Mueller in 2009 to help rescue a retired FBI agent whose name is Robert Levinson. He was captured in Iran while working in 2007. Well, it turns out this Mr. Deripaska has surfaced again, this time in the Mueller investigation. He is now sanctioned by the Trump administration, but he has ties to Mueller. So here's another collusion, but it's coming on the Mueller side.
And he's being used, the oligarch is being used to charge folks like Manafort and others. But the thing here is Robert Mueller and this oligarch, they're basically buds. They partnered up together, the FBI and the oligarch. The oligarch funded the FBI's operations back in 2009 to get an agent from a CIA operative from Iran released. The problem is that Mueller did not disclose this in the Manafort hearing.
So who's really colluding with the Russians here?
Right.
I mean, it sounds like Mueller himself.
Yeah, the whole document release thing that's going on, I don't know what's going on there, but there's obviously something that they're trying to hide. The FBI and the Department of Justice, there's no reason you don't release basic documentation on investigations to Congress and stonewall them this much unless there's something to hide.
Well, because remember that Nunes and the leaders in Congress are cleared security clearance for top secret security.
Right.
There's nothing national security-wise that they can't see.
Why right. can't President Trump call Jeff Sessions over to the White House? He makes about a five-minute ride over there. And says, Jeff, level with me here. Well, what in the world is going on in your building over there? Because I'm going to tell you something, Jeff. I'm getting ready to fire some people. And you may be one of them if I don't get some answers. And so...
Well, here's
and I don't mean that to sound disrespectful to Senator Sessions, who had a distinguished career as a senator but I'm serious when I say that's how President Trump and Jeff Sessions talk to one another, and that's mm-hmm. how President Trump deserves better from his Justice Department. It is his Justice Department now. It's
yes.
the Trump Justice Department. And Walker, so how long is he gonna? Steve, you go first, and then Walker, tell me how long you if you said, well, I'm going to ask Walker first.
So
Walker, how long before President Trump fires Robert Mueller?
I think this week.
And or Jeff Sessions.
I think this week, totally speculating, not much evidence to back it up, but the White House said on May 17th we will announce whether the president will sit down with Robert Mueller or not. So that's Thursday. I think Mike Pence's, the vice president's, comments last week about he needs to wrap it up, talking about Mueller. The chief of staff, John Kelly, said the same thing. I think they're leading towards a firing of Robert Mueller.
Okay. Let me just hasten to add that talking to Sandy Rios, and we asked Sandy this on our program, not today, but in a previous interview with her last couple of weeks, and she was highly complimentary of Attorney General Sessions on everything else. All right, sanctuary cities, on almost every other level, the Attorney General, despite the fact that, you know, he had his own deep state issues to contend with within the Justice Department and or the FBI, is doing a very good job for the conservative cause for President Trump. But on this deal here we've been talking about, I don't know where he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he just doesn't seem to be active at all.
Go ahead,
Steve, and then Ray.
I think the president has a decision to make, because right now he is riding high. He's rising in the polls. He just opened the embassy in Jerusalem, which, while unpopular with the left, certainly with the majority of Americans, is a proud moment. The economy is going strong. He has had North Korea is on the right. On the edge of a historic victory. So there's a lot of things going in his direction. Does the president, and Ray, I'll ask you this, does the president ride that and get his popularity up and have just some moments of success, or does he use that as leverage against going up? Because if he starts talking to Sessions about firing somebody, the media will know about it, and all of a sudden that's what's going to take the shine away from everything he's accomplished. But well, it is capital that he can use.
He's riding a wave right now, and what happened yesterday in Jerusalem is just one more thing in his favor. The economy is doing well, and so you've laid out the case well. I'm thinking to myself, and I'm thinking out loud here, going to Walker's point, suppose in 2 days he fires Mueller. I think he can do it. I maybe wouldn't have thought that way 4 or 5 months ago, just in terms of the political capital, Steve, but I'm thinking, I mean, there would be the mainstream media would go berserk, and we'd have, you know, fireworks everywhere. I think the average American Republican.
Yawn.
Yes, get on with this. Let's get this over with. Yeah. I think he can do it.
I do, too. I don't think there's any downside for him other than what Ray just mentioned. You know, the liberal media will have a hissy fit.
They're going to do that anyway. Congress, however, could energize more Democrats in Congress to look for impeachment. They're doing that now. I think I was seeing something this morning that about 20% of the House Congressional delegation, House Congressional Caucus, is already in favor of impeaching the guy just now for just being
They've been that way since the day after the inauguration.
There's some that might be on the fence. That's the only downside I could see. The press is going to do what it's going to do, but there are some on the fence.
Well, I just say, look, you're going to impeach me over this? Go ahead.
Well, and it's not like Congress and President Trump had this cozy relationship that he's going to somehow spoil. I mean, even Republicans don't even listen to the president's agenda. They're not carrying it out. We don't have wall funding. Obamacare is still in place, despite they'll say otherwise. Mm-hmm. And they pass these horrible budgets every year that spend trillions
You're
upon
about
trillions.
The Republican majority.
Yes, I'm talking about the Republicans
and
in charge.
So President Trump doesn't have a cozy, as you said, cozy relationship with them. I just think maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I just don't think there's any. I don't think there's much of a downside to President Trump just fire Mueller. You know, come out. I just have a press conference. Maybe have Attorney General Sessions with me. Whoever else you want to have there, mm-hmm. and just let President Trump be President Trump, and just say, listen, Robert Mueller has had over a year to chase me down, all right? And the reason we don't have anything is because there's nothing there. I didn't collude, nor my team did collude with the Russians to change the election results in the U.S., okay? This is all a pipe dream, but I've been patient. I'm talking about as if I'm President Trump. I've been patient. He's had all the money. He's had 14 lawyers that voted for Hillary Clinton come after me. and here we are. And we've had all you people. This is where he could do his classic, you know, pointing at the media.
Media, yeah.
All you people. All you people. I would say this. I would say, you're telling me that with all the resources all you people got in this room, y'all would beat
Mueller.
I don't think Trump uses y'all, but I think you get the idea. You guys, or y'all, would have beaten Mueller to the punch. Y'all would have found out the story of how I usurped the American election, included with the Russians. So this is, you know, if you want to criticize me for for my policies, or you want to come after me for things I believe or say, go right ahead. Because I'm ending this this eternal investigation into the boogeyman. Okay, Bigfoot is not real, people, and I'm just having to tell you that as a as the president. So if I get impeached for this, so be it. But I'm moving forward. I think he'd do something like that. Walker would resonate with the American people.
Oh, yeah.
The majority, of, at least the people who, absolutely. It's not going to hurt him. The people who hate him, hate him. The people who love him, love him. And the people in between, I think they don't care about the Russia investigation. They just want to move on with the important issues that matter to the American people. So, am I hired?
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
Huh?
You can take Rudy Giuliani's job.
You know, you might want to put a call into... The lawyer, who's the lawyer that's that we know?
Jay Sekulow?
Jay. You might want to give a call to Jay. You know, he's somewhere. This is the man that has not been heard from much, but is still on the team there. I'm thinking that
he might anyway,
reach out to.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what's next?
We have been talking about serious stuff with Russia. I'd like to bring you something from the Mockingbird file. So, police were called to investigate a domestic disturbance in a southern German town, the town of Lorach. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's near the Swiss border. They called neighbors called the emergency number Monday to report concerns about loud shouting from the next-door apartment that had been going on for some time. Police came and knocked on the door, and they found a loud argument going on, but it was between a 22-year-old man and a parrot. The man told him he had been annoyed by the bird, which had been belonged to his girlfriend. The parrot responded by being shouted out with loud noises of its own. He couldn't speak, but he could bark like a dog. That is what had been going on. Since no one was hurt, the officers left.
He got in an argument with a parrot?
With a parrot.
That ever happened to you, Walker?
No.
You never
I've come close.
You've come close.
They called the cops.
I was in the vet office the other day, and there was a parrot in a cage right beside me. And
did you talk to him?
Yeah, he looked like he wanted to get smart with me, but I guess he decided not to.
I love birds. I love big birds like that. They're fun.
You have one?
We used to. My daughter, when she was growing up, had
a parrot?
No, it was a cockatiel. She had two of them. One died.
Parrots the only birds that repeat what you say?
Right. Other birds, like the cockatiel, can certainly respond. It knows its name. It had the cockatiel had a specific name for me. It was a tweet. It was a whistle that he only played when I came in the room, mostly because I was the one that fed him. My daughter.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah.
What would it sound like?
I don't know. It was
he did that every time you came
when
in the
I
room.
Came in the room, and he didn't do it when anybody else did because he knew he was getting food and, you know, maybe some.
A cockatiel.
Cockatiel. Great birds.
Are they in the family of the?
I think they are. They're the ones with the little thing on the top of their head that goes up there.
Is that what Brett had?
No, Brett had a cockatoo.
A cockatoo
is a bigger version of a cockatiel. A cockatiel is not that much.
We've discussed three different birds in the last.
We have.
We got your cockatoo.
Like
you got
trivia Friday.
I know. You got your cockatoo, cockatiel, and what?
Well, maybe losing listeners.
Parrot. If this isn't interesting, I don't know what is, Walker.
I got other stuff.
Go ahead, Steve.
It has been, moving on, it has been a bad week for the airlines. We found out yesterday a co-pilot got almost sucked out of an airplane when the front window broke. They don't know why, but he was sucked halfway out the cockpit window after the window blew out. He was at 32,000 feet. The windshield cracked and a loud bang. The co-pilot was in a harness, and so that must have hurt. That's why he didn't go all the way out, and they had to do an emergency landing. It was with Singapore Airlines, I think, Airlines.
Southwest Airlines is breathing.
Well, Southwest had to make an
that's
emergency.
That's the one that lady died, you remember?
I do.
About a month ago.
But Southwest had to make another emergency landing. Plane was forced to make an emergency landing Saturday after the cabin started losing pressure. They don't know why. It was headed from Denver to Dallas, and they had to land. And then,
by the way, excuse me for interrupting you.
Yeah.
The pilot that got halfway sucked.
Yes.
Did he live?
Just minor injuries.
Yeah.
He did. He was fine. I mean, I'm sure that he was hurt.
I wonder, did they describe...
minor injuries.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't want to be too gruesome here, but did it describe... Did he really go?
It says the co-pilot was wearing a seatbelt and was pulled back in, suffering only minor injuries. None of the 119 passengers...
He must have not gone out the window then halfway. You can't go out halfway of wind at 32,000 feet going 500 miles an hour and it doesn't snap your neck.
All I can tell you is that they have, this is according to the pilot, heard a loud noise. Suddenly the windshield just cracked and made a loud bang. The next thing I know, my co-pilot had been sucked halfway out the window.
All right, well, I wasn't there.
That's crazy.
And it's not to be a praise the Lord, you guys. But you don't understand what I'm saying, Ray?
Well, sure. I mean, can you imagine?
Halfway out, your body's not halfway out. You don't live to survive that.
So if those things are making you a little hesitant to fly, you will be glad to know
that... Well, you won't see that in an advertisement.
That American Airlines has clarified its emotional support animal policy.
Oh, I've been waiting on this.
Yes. So let me tell you which animals are restricted. You cannot bring an emotional support amphibian. Or an emotional support ferret.
Be an example of that.
Or a lizard. You can't bring an emotional support goat or hedgehog or insect. I know there's many people with emotional support
hedgehogs.
Insects. Yep, no hedgehogs.
Those mosquitoes will comfort you every time.
You're going to get going, Steve. I'm going to say something.
No reptiles, rodents, snakes, spiders, or sugar gliders. None of those.
No snakes.
And it says here, and I'm reading this, no animals with tusks, horn, or hooves, excluding miniature horses, properly trained as service animals.
What?
Oh,
my
God.
These are guidelines from who?
From American Airlines.
We're American Airlines doing what we do best? This is American Airlines?
This is from American Airlines' website.
Now, so they'll let you have a Shetland pony on there?
If you have it trained, and if it's miniature, it can fit on your lap.
That's right.
I wonder if you have to buy an extra ticket.
Right, he's serious, right? It says animals with tusks, horns, or hooves
are
excluded.
So no elephants, right? No rhinos.
Wait a minute. You can have a miniature horse as long as it's properly trained. I don't know how you prove that. Do you prove that at the gate?
I suppose what you bring it up to the gate agent and say, pet the horse. Do you feel
better? Tell your horse to kneel, sir. If your horse kneels, then you can get on the
plane. Now they're going to have they measure your bags. Sir, that's a little too big for a carry-on.
It's not a miniature horse.
Yeah,
it's a medium horse.
That's right. That's a medium horse.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting, I think what's happened here, first of all, Tim, don't say that. Don't. I have a problem with people getting on. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I only got 30 seconds. How much damage could I do? I have a problem with people getting on airplanes with dogs, period. I'm sorry. And I have a dog, and I love my little dog. But carrying maybe a little 10-pound dog, put it down underneath your feet. But people who, if you're going to travel with dogs, all right, go get a bus ticket or something, or get a rental car. But don't make everybody else have to sit with your dog while they're flying. Now, I said it.
There you go.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
Direct your email to timwildman@fa.net.
If you need emotional support that bad, then you probably need to stay at home. I'm just saying. And that's commentary for today. And that's not thus saith the Lord. That's just my opinion, okay? Thank you, Steve, for your opinion.
My pleasure.
Walker,
yes,
Ray,
sir.
Appreciate it, Ray.
Thanks, Tim.
See you next time, folks. Have a great day.